Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Well, it's so good to be here tonight. It's always a wonderful thing to gather in the name of the Lord and worship Him and sing His praises and to study His words. I can't think of a better way to spend the evening. Before we do anything here tonight, we're going to pray. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this night, thanking Thee for Thy goodness, thanking Thee that Thou hast given us another opportunity to come together, another opportunity to beseech Thee, another opportunity to seek Thee, another opportunity to worship Thee, another opportunity to praise Thee. And I pray, O God, that Thy Spirit would be here tonight. I pray that Thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. Inspire us this night to truly worship Thee, in spirit and in truth. Inspire us to truly give Thee our hearts here this night, I pray, and I ask that everything we do here tonight would be done according to Thy perfect will and Thy perfect plan. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you can find your chorus book, we're going to start with number 15 tonight. Sing "The Windows of Heaven Are Open." Number 15. The windows of heaven. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus made everything right. I gave Him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus made everything right. Sing "The Name of the Lord is a Mighty Strong Tower." Number 90.
In the dark.
Truly helpless without the Lord, but with His help we can do all things. Praise
Thank
God.
You,
let's sing number 91 in the chorus book, Without Him, number 91. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without a long as we're in the vicinity anyway, why not sing number 89? God can do anything. Number 89. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can the beginning and the end. He's the famous doctor that blew my soul. And God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. And God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. Is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest one to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. Praise the Lord. To serve a God without limitations. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Let's go to number 31 and sing, I Know the Lord Will Make a Way. Number 31. There is no telling what God can do if you if you believe. But believe God can do all things, and He can do all things well. Let's go to number 105 and sing Only Believe, number 105.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Possible, only me. quickly time goes by when you're worshiping the Lord. What we're going to do now is take up the collection, and then we're going to sing one more song before we get started with our Bible study. Praise God. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, O God, for Thy abundant blessings. We thank Thee for Thy love and Thy care towards us. We thank Thee for Thy sustaining power which has kept us. And I pray, O God, that Thou would continue to lead, guide, and direct us in all things. Give us Thy great wisdom on how these funds should be used, O God, for we know that these funds belong to Thee. And I pray, O God, that we would use these funds for Thy purpose, for Thy glory, for the cause of Thy mighty name. I pray, O God, that Thou would continue to guide and direct us in all things. And I pray, O God, that Thou would bless the givers here this night and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God. Well, we're going to sing one more chorus before we get started with the Bible study. And why don't we go to number 157 and sing Open Our Eyes, Lord, number 157.
Open our eyes, Lord.
thought in mind, we're going to turn it over to Shirley and see what the Lord has laid on her heart tonight. Praise God.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful to be here tonight. You know, to get into God's presence, to feel His touch, to know that He's here, to sing His praises. Oh, what joy there is in that. It's a wonderful thing. And we're so glad He's here tonight. Oh, the Lord is here. And I'm glad for each and every one of you that is here. We have Matt here tonight, and he's come here to be baptized and to join us, and we're just going to just trust the Lord that He's going to work in our hearts. He's going to lead us and guide us and show us things that we never saw before. Oh, there's always more to God's Word. There's no end to it, but what a wonderful privilege we have here tonight to be in this place, to worship here together. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's cry out to the Lord here. We just thank You, Heavenly Father, Lord, for Your presence that has come into this place, Lord. Oh God, we're thankful that we can worship You, that we can praise You, Lord, that we could give You our hearts, Lord. Oh, we could do nothing without You, Lord. We know that You sustain us, oh Lord, that You direct us. You give us Your word, Lord, and You talk to our hearts, Lord. We know we could do nothing without You, Lord. We ask, O Lord, that You'd be here, Lord, to meet every need, Lord, to move in our hearts. Oh, God, to change us, to direct us. Oh, God, help us, O Lord, to be in that place where You can use us, where You can mold us, where You can change us, Lord. Help us, Lord God. I pray, O Lord, that You'd meet our needs here tonight. Pray that You'd talk to our hearts, Lord. Oh, God, oh, Lord, that Your presence would come down. Oh, God, I pray, oh, Lord, that we would leave here full, Lord Jesus, full of Thy Spirit, oh, God, full with a touch from You, Lord God, knowing that surely we have been here tonight with You, Lord Jesus. We ask, oh, Lord, that You'd move, Lord, that You'd bless our dear ones here. Lord, I pray that You'd bless everybody online, God. Oh, Lord, that You'd speak to our hearts. And, oh, God, draw us close to You. Get us to that place, oh, Lord, where the world can see You in us, Lord. Oh, God, where You shine through our countenance, Lord. Oh, God, oh, Lord, oh, God, and give us those eyes to see and ears to hear. Bind every uncertain spirit, everything that would be of doubt, of dismay, oh God, anything that would conflict with Your spirit, we bind those spirits in the name of Jesus and take authority over them in the name of Jesus and ask, oh Lord, that Your true spirit would come down in Jesus' precious name, Lord. Oh God, give us the words of life tonight. We thank You in Jesus' name and praise Thee, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is so good. Amen. Praise our Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to call this message The Call to Life. And we know that we were all out there in the world at one point. We were all out there seeking and searching and not knowing. And I just remember, I'm just so grateful that God called me when I was young. But I'll tell you what. Oh, I'm just so thankful that He got hold of me. Oh, God only knows how wretched I would be without Him and how miserable and what horrible things I would have done. And oh, my, oh, those intentions that I had in my heart that God took away. Praise the Lord. When He began to work inside of me, when I began to let Him take over and remake me. And oh, yes, He poured out of His Spirit and gave so much hope. Oh, praise the Lord. Those are those living waters that He gives unto us. That joy unspeakable, that joy full of glory. All the things that He does for us as His children. hope we have in him, the promises we have in him. Oh, praise the Lord. They are yea and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just turning, first of all, to John, the 10th chapter, and reading a verse here. Well, let's start with verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. This is John 10. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And then verse 10 here in John, the 10th chapter. Verse 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our Savior talking there, and all that ever came before him. Oh, yes, we know they were thieves and they were robbers. Presuming that, they could get in, that they could be righteous on their own. But praise the Lord, there's that still small voice that speaks to our soul, and the sheep hear that voice of the Lord as he speaks to us and declares that he is the door. And there is only one door to salvation. Jesus is that door, and he said, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Oh, what a wonderful thing that is. Yes, a thief cometh not but to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise our Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. You know, I know before we gave our lives to the Lord, we didn't realize how wretched we really were. You know, people out there, you know, maybe thinking they're having a good time a lot of times. Maybe think they're even enjoying themselves. And, the scripture does say that there are pleasures in sin for a season. But praise the Lord, it's not enduring, it's not lasting. And it's not going to be able to stand before God. Oh, yes, because all our own righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Oh, yes, filthy rags in the sight of God. We are all as an unclean thing. Oh, yes, I mean, there is no hope without the Almighty God that came to seek and to save those which were lost. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm going to be going back into the book of John, but if we could just turn over a little bit for a moment to the book of Ephesians here. And we're going to call this message the call to life. But in the second chapter of Ephesians, it describes what our past life was like. Before we knew the Lord, we look at Ephesians, the second chapter, in verse 1. It begins by saying, And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. And oh my, it talks about quickening. That means to make alive. People don't know how dead they are out there when they live in their own sin. They live in their own trespasses, doing their own thing, not knowing the Lord. But praise the Lord, he quickens us. Oh, there is something when he comes into our life, when all at once we can see that need to turn our life over to the living God. He begins to work in us, doesn't he? He begins to talk to our soul. We begin to realize that we're a sinner and we need Jesus Christ. And he begins to work in us. We begin to change, and he begins to give us that quickening power, that Holy Ghost that makes us alive. So it says here, you have been quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Oh, what a description it is right there. Oh, our conduct, our conversation in times past, it was just according to the things of the flesh, according to the things of this world. That's all we knew. Didn't know how empty it was and how desolate. And, oh my, we didn't know where our end was leading us, that we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. There we were, without God and without hope. But then it describes in verse 4 what God did. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Oh, what a wonderful day when Jesus came into our life. Oh, yes, and all at once we realized how wretched we were and miserable and blind and naked and poor. And he began to work in our hearts. Oh, yes, and he, oh, yes, we could see and we could understand. And yes, he had quickened us together with Christ. It says us that God, who was so rich in mercy and still is, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And this is beautiful here in verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'll tell you what are we doing when we're worshiping the Lord? What are we doing when we're praising him, when we're meditating, when we're praising him and worshiping and praying on our knees? What are we doing? Oh, we're getting to the presence of the Lord. Oh, yes, he's here with us. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in their midst. And that's his promise. He comes down and he begins to flood our soul. He raises us up together and he makes us to sit in heavenly places with him. I'll tell you what, there's nothing to compare with feeling the presence of the Lord and knowing that he's right there with you, knowing, oh yes, that, oh yes, he came to seek and to save. And he's reached out to touch us, to bring us into the fold. And praise the Lord, we sit here together. Oh yes, we don't see him yet, but his presence is here. Oh yes, he walks among us. He walks among the candlesticks. He's with his people. Yes, and he talks to our soul. And oh yes, as we worship him, as we praise him, as we honor him and exalt him, his presence comes down and he begins to work. Oh yes, all things in our lives that need to be sorted out, all the things we don't understand, all the confusion, God begins to take it. He begins to move in our midst. He begins to change us. That faith rises in our heart so we can raise our hands and worship him, so that we can, oh yes, reach out in faith and even touch the very hem of his garment. Oh, praise the Lord, our wonderful God that raises us up together and makes us to sit together in heavenly places. Oh, I'll tell you what. Oh, praise the Lord when we worship in spirit and in truth. Oh, it pleases God, doesn't it? And such he seeketh to worship him. Yes, he's a spirit. Oh, yes, but and he looks for individuals that have a hunger and thirst. He looks for individuals who want to give their heart to the Lord, who want to worship him in spirit and in truth. And praise the Lord, his presence comes down to flood our soul. We sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. But you know, he expects a response on our part. He expects us, oh yes, to draw nigh to God. He said, draw nigh to God, and I will draw nigh unto you. You know, there's just something about it. When we lift up our hands, when we cry out, when, oh, we seek him with all our heart, he promised that he would be found of us that day when you search for him with all your heart. Amen. And it tells us in verse 7 that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Oh, I tell you what, talk about kindness. What God has done for us. You know, we were all out there, we're all miserable sinners. And yet, you know, in spite of it, he called us. He called us. He bid us to come unto him. He promised that he'd give us rest. And it's way beyond that. Because here it expressed that in the ages to come, he might show his exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Oh, I tell you what, he took us as we were, but then he begins to move in us, doesn't he? He begins to change us. We become his sons and his daughters. We become heirs of the kingdom of God and the things that he has reserved for them that love him. Oh, it's beyond our comprehension here. We don't understand it yet. We just get little glimpses as we worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh, yes, but his promises are so beyond what we could ever think of in our own minds. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we've not seen it yet, but oh, sometimes we just get maybe a little glimpse, perhaps, even in our minds of that heavenly host there in heaven. Those that, oh yes, are redeemed. Those that are in his presence even now, worshiping him, honoring him, giving their hearts and yielding always to him. Oh, what a beautiful sight it must be, those praises that go up. Oh, yes, that rejoicing from those that are redeemed from the foundation of the world, that have given their lives to the Lord. What a praise, what a worship, what a cry, what a rejoicing that must be. Oh, yes, those in the presence of the Lord. For it tells us, for by grace are you saved, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I mean, we could do nothing to save ourselves. But praise the Lord, he reached out to save us. Oh, yes, and so that we know it was of him. It was of him. And then, as he changes us, it says in verse 10, for we are his workmanship. Oh, he begins to rework our lives, oh, so that we're his property, and the things we do and say all reflect our Heavenly Father. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, those good works that follow them that believe, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonderful gift he has given us. Oh, our wonderful Savior, oh yes, that put us here together tonight. Those of us that he has quickened, though we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm going to go now to John, the 5th chapter. And praise the Lord. Again, we're calling this the call to life. And in that 5th chapter, John, it tells us how there was Jesus. He was in Jerusalem. It tells us that in Jerusalem there was a pool. It was called Bethesda. It was near the sheep market. It had 5 porches, and around those porches, I suppose it was a place of shelter so they could be there for, you know, a length of time, if need be. But they were perhaps brought there, or maybe some of them were there permanently. But there at Bethesda, it tells us in verse 3 here in John 5, in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. So it was a miracle, and they would wait for that special moment when the waters were troubled, so possibly they could be the first one to get into that water and be healed. And then it tells us there was a certain man there which had an infirmity, and it's a long length of time, 38 years. But Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been there now a long time. In that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And I love what Jesus did. There was no hesitation. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And praise the Lord, perhaps he took him by the hand. But all we know is immediately that man was made whole, it tells us. He took up his bed, and he walked, and on the same day was a Sabbath day. And I'll tell you what, here are these Jews, and we know that Jesus came unto his own, and he was Jewish himself, but here he is. Those Jews were the most critical people you could imagine. They're always looking for something wrong. And so the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is a Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. But Jesus answered them, the man answered them and said, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. And then they asked him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. It says, Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. But here it is, these Jewish people, not very happy with this incident because their attitudes weren't right, their hearts weren't right. Lo and behold, the Messiah was there in their midst, but they were not receiving him. They were not acknowledging him. They were not giving him any credit at all. Instead, they were looking for faults. And it says in verse 16, And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because now he had not only broken the Sabbath, so they thought, but said also that God was his Father. In other words, he was the Son of God, making himself equal with God. Of course, Jesus had every right to say that, didn't he? Oh, yes. Hey, we know that Jesus said in the 10th chapter of John, I and my Father are one. Right? And he was God in the flesh. Oh, yes. God had put on flesh. He had robed himself in flesh and come to this world so that he could save his people from their sins. But these Jewish people were not receiving him. They were not going to acknowledge him. And now, just think, first of all, they accuse him of doing this on the Sabbath day. It's so nasty. And then they're trying to say, you're just a man. And now you're saying yourself, you're making yourself equal with God. And oh my, they hated him all the more and they're seeking all the more to kill him. You know, it's so amazing. Jesus did all those wonderful works. And you know, how could anybody do those works except God be with him? You know, the blind man in the 9th chapter, John knew that. But these Jewish people, of course, for the most part, did not want to acknowledge such. They just saw him as a man, you know, the son of Joseph. Oh yes, you know, Mary, his mother is with us, and are not his brothers with us? You know, James and Joseph and Simon and Jude, are they not all with us and his sisters? And they just could not acknowledge his deity, could they? They could not see it. They didn't want to see it, is what it was. And they were offended in him. As it tells us, a prophet is not without honor, Jesus said, save in his own country and in his own house. Oh yes, particularly those people of Nazareth and some of those other cities in Galilee vehemently refused him. And it was because of his mightiness, but their unbelief. Jesus was not able to do many mighty works in those places where they could not believe on him. But praise the Lord for the people that did. Amen. He's always had a remnant. He's always had a few. There's always been a few that would cry out and acknowledge him. And thank God for it. Praise the Lord. But back here in John, the 5th chapter, we have some upset Jews, don't we? Because now they figured he had broken the Sabbath day, and as a man, he was making himself God. But Jesus explained in verse 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of itself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm going to be going back here to this chapter, but I'm also going to go back to Ezekiel 37 here for a moment. Ezekiel had just a glimpse. There he was, of course, carried away as a captive out of his homeland, but the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and God gave him visions, and God showed him many things. But here it is in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel that the hand of the Lord was upon Ezekiel, and God set him down in that valley that was full of bones. And it tells us those bones, oh yes, in that big valley there, there are very many of them in that open valley. And they were very, very dry. And then that question is asked Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? Well, you know, who would ever figure that they could, you know? In reality, they're dead, they're dry, they've been there for ages. So it would seem. But I like Ezekiel's answer. He said, O Lord God, thou knowest. And God then told him, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. God said he was going to cause breath to enter into those bones and they were going to live. He was going to lay sinews upon them and bring up flesh upon them and cover them with skin, put breath in them, and they were going to live. They were going to come alive. They were going to be quickened, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, what he does for his name's sake and for his glory. Oh, yes, and there's that day when they're all going to see him and they're all going to know, and every knee is going to bow before God. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Amen. So Ezekiel prophesied to those bones as he was told to do, as he was commanded. And as he prophesied to those dry, dead bones, oh yes, there suddenly was a noise. Suddenly there was a shaking. Suddenly those bones began to come together, bone to bone. Oh, what a sight that must have been to behold. And then it says in verse 8 here in Ezekiel 37, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Oh, yes, here they are. But there's more. There's more. There's got to be breath. And we know that God created Adam out of the dust of the earth. He formed man out of the dust. But it wasn't until God breathed into Adam that Adam became a living soul. And so it is, we're not made alive until God breathes in us. Oh yes, the Holy Ghost, so that we become alive, so that we become quickened in the Holy Ghost. And so it was said, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man. Say to the wind, verse 9, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So Ezekiel prophesied as he commanded me. And it says in verse 10, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Oh, praise the Lord. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones of the whole house of Israel, behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. Oh yes, remember that chapter in Ephesians? Oh, how we were all dead in our trespasses and sins. And it says in verse 14, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. It was the Spirit of God that was going to come into those beings. Oh, yes, so that they might be alive, so that they might be quickened. And I love how it was. Oh, yes. Jesus, before Calvary there, 20th chapter of John, how he breathed upon them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. And so then it happened. He told them to go to Jerusalem and tarry there, 24th chapter of Luke, until they be endued with power from on high. Oh, yes, you just wait. It's going to happen, for ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. Oh, yes, it was going to happen. I love how it happened on the day of Pentecost. Oh, yes, when they were quickened. Oh, yes. Oh, it tells us in the second chapter of Acts. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Oh, praise the Lord, just like God had told Jeremiah to call out to the winds, the four winds, from all corners of the earth. Here on the day of Pentecost, oh, there came that sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they could sit. Now they could hear that wind as it was blowing. Oh, just as Jesus had told. Oh, yes. In the third chapter of John, Nicodemus, who came to him by night. Oh, yes, that the man be born again. He shall not see the kingdom of God. Oh, yes, you know, and of course Nicodemus could understand that. But Jesus repeated it, didn't he? And the sign said, except a man be born again of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Oh, that need to be born again, yes. We were all born initially of our mother. We all came from the womb, initially born of the flesh. But there is another birth that needs to come forth in our lives, that call to eat everlasting life, that call to new life in Christ Jesus. all that need to be born again. And as Jesus told Nicodemus, if I said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Then he talked about the wind. He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst thou tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth? He said, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Oh, you can hear the sound of the wind. Oh, yes, as it begins to come into a place. Oh, yes, we had strong winds a couple weeks ago. So strong that, you know, you had to hold on if you were getting into the car or whatever you were going to do. If you had an umbrella, maybe you'd fly away because the winds were so strong. But we can hear that sound of the wind, but we can't see where it's coming from, can we? We don't know that. But Jesus compared that to the Holy Ghost. Oh, that Holy Ghost that fell on the day of Pentecost. Oh, yes. There's a sound that you can hear. Oh, you're not going to see where it's coming from, but you're going to hear a sound. And sure enough, there on the day of Pentecost, oh, there was that sound of a rushing, mighty wind that filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, split tongues, like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, yes. God was sending back His Spirit. Oh, yes. Jesus gave up the ghost on the cross. He gave it up. But He gave it up so that we might receive it, so that it might be poured out upon all flesh, as Joel had prophesied. Oh, yes, in the last days, I'm going to pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Your young men are going to see visions, and your old men are going to dream dreams. Oh, yes, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, I'm going to pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Oh, praise the Lord, it did come to pass. The pouring out of His Spirit. Yes, oh yes, Ezekiel foretold of it. Oh yes, that Spirit. Oh yes, just as he saw that vision of those bones coming together, bone to another bone, joining together, and oh yes, then being covered with the sinew and with the skin, the flesh and all that that covered it. But then, finally, that breath came to them. And yes, that was symbolic of the Spirit, that everlasting Spirit, the living Spirit of Almighty God that was going to come into our very being and quicken us and make us alive, that call to life that He was going to put within us. Oh, praise the Lord. As He said, as Ezekiel said in 37, verse 14 again, and shall put my Spirit in you, and ye shall live. Ye shall be quickened. You're going to live. You're going to know what it's like to know the living God. And I shall place you in your own land. Then ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, the Lord putting us together, bringing the body together of Jew and Gentile, calling us from the four winds all over the world, people from every tribe and nation, kindred and people, all coming together to know the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. So it was on Pentecost. Oh, praise the Lord. So back here in John, the fifth chapter, verse 21. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will, making them alive. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him. Oh, I tell you what. You can't say that you belong to God and reject Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus told those Jewish people, those that He was speaking to, He said, I said therefore unto you, this is John 8, chapter verse 24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. I'll tell you what, it's still the same today. You know, you know, how are you going to make it to heaven if you don't believe in Jesus? There's only one way, you know. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. That's what Jesus declared. And he said in John 8, chapter verse 24, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Oh, yes. We heard that before, didn't we? We heard that, oh, yes, when God was introducing himself to Moses in that burning bush, and Moses wanted to know, what shall I tell those Hebrew people who sent me? What shall I say? Who can I identify as the one that sent me? What did Jesus, what did God say to Moses? I am that I am. Tell them that I am hath sent thee. Oh, here is Jesus Christ declaring it to you. For if you believe not that I am, and he is in italics, meaning that it was added to the script to interpret it perhaps a little more precisely, but unless you believe that I am, ye shall die in your sins. Oh, yes, you can't come to Jesus Christ. You can't come to God except that you come by Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it tells us here, back in John, the 5th chapter, again, verse 23, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. And then he declares in verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Oh, Jesus had said in John, also, that John, the 6th chapter, verse 63, he said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Those words, as he was speaking to those people, did they realize that his words were spirit and life? Did they realize that they had to be quickened by the Spirit of the living God? Oh yes, Jesus said in the 12th chapter of John that if he be lifted up from the earth, he would draw all men unto himself. Praise the Lord, that's what happened. He was lifted up from the earth. He was crucified on that cross of Calvary. What was he doing on that cross? Oh, praise the Lord, there as he hung on that cross. Oh, yes, suspended between heaven and earth. As he laid on that cross, giving his life, what was he doing? He was redeeming his children. Oh, he was bringing forth eternal life. He was drawing his children unto himself that we might have life and more abundantly. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. So he said again here in John 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, of a truth, it's a proof text. I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Oh yes, we were all miserable sinners. Oh yes, oh, we all were born into a world of sin. But praise the Lord for the plan of God, so that if we hear his word and believe on him that sent me, he said, Jesus, we have everlasting life. And therefore, that condemnation that was before us is no longer over our head. We no longer are doomed to go to hell, but instead, oh, that eternal breath of God, oh yes, that eternal life begins to work in our being. Oh yes, so that we pass from this world of flesh, this world that brings death, all the sins that condemned us, unto life eternal. Oh yes, that spirit that quickeneth us, and the words of Jesus that are spirit and life. And then he said in verse 25, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, look, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, if God has opened up our ears so that we can hear, he has given us eyes to see and a mind that can perceive how very blessed we are, because we were all dead in our sins and in our trespasses. But praise the Lord, he was talking about a day. And he said at that moment, that hour is coming, and now is. Oh, that quickening spirit of the Lord was beginning to work when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. He's talking about that call to life. Oh yes, when all at once it came to us, that need to turn over our lives to God, that need to repent, that need to surrender our will. Oh, that wonderful moment when all at once, yes, it's not nice. Oh, to realize we're a sinner. It's rather unpleasant to see ourselves as for what we are, the wretchedness, the misery, and all the debauchery, and, you know, all the horrendous things that we had done when we thought we were so nice. Really, we were awful. Oh, I'll tell you what. No, but the glorious thing when we realized, oh, yes, oh, God, we could give our life to you and realize that you take it upon yourself, our sins. Oh, for there on the cross, what were you doing? You were taking your sins upon yourself that we might live and have abundant life. And so it was, Jesus was telling about that moment. Oh yes, and the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Praise the Lord, just like those dead, dry bones there in the valley that Ezekiel saw. Oh yes, oh, they were so dry. They were so dead. Who could imagine them living? But we were dead. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. But God quickened us. Oh yes, he moved in us. Oh, that we might be made alive, that we might come to him and know what it's like to receive everlasting life. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. For as the Father hath life in himself, verse 26, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Oh, yes, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. And then Jesus began to talk of another day. In verse 28, he talks about another hour that is coming. And notice, in this case, in verse 28, he doesn't say, this hour is coming and now is. But no, this was for the future. It says in verse 28, to marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Oh yes, all that are in the graves are going to hear the voice. Oh yes, that trumpet that sounds from heaven. Oh yes, that clarion call that comes forth. And either we're going to arise to the resurrection of life, or to the resurrection of damnation. No in-betweens, one way or the other. And Jesus has been given that authority to execute judgment. Let's go over to Revelation, the 20th chapter here for a moment. Just getting a glimpse of that which is to come to pass. Praise it in. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes. He called us unto life. But here John is seen in the 20th chapter of Revelation, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Oh, the great finality of it all. There at this point, oh yes, after that sound of the last trumpet, all at once, the dead are raised. All are called to this resurrection. All are called to this judgment seat. All are going to stand before Almighty God, that great white throne, and him that sits on it. Oh, yes, they're going to have to face him at that moment. They're going to have to stand before him. Oh, yes. And what a moment is going to be. Oh, yes, I know. We all want to be found on his right hand. We all want to be as the sheep that are on his right hand. Those that have been redeemed, those that have been called to life, those that have heeded the call to life and given their hearts to the Lord. Oh, what a day that's going to be. But there's the other side, the goats that are on the left, and there they will stand all before God. No excuses at that moment. How are we going to give excuses before the Almighty One? He that sits on the throne, he who knows all things, who's known the hearts, oh yes, who's watched, who's waited, who's called, and been rejected by so many. Oh, at that moment, oh yes, as the sea gives up the dead, oh death and hell, all of that is delivered up to the time of judgment. All stand there before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Mighty One who sits on the throne. Oh, yes, the one who has promised those that are heirs of eternal life a great and wonderful salvation. Oh, what a moment that is going to be. And death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And oh, how we want to be written in that book of life. Oh, how we want our name to be there. Praise the Lord. That wonderful call to life. We are so privileged if God has called us, if he's made himself known. Oh, yes, if we've been able to bow our knee to him now and acknowledge him now. Surely that moment is going to come. Oh, yes. For he's going to come in clouds and every eye is going to see him. Oh yes, and they also, which crucified him, they're going to see him at that moment. Oh yes, and there's going to be a great cry. Oh yes, as all kings of the earth shall realize and shall wail as we see the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Oh, they're going to know him. Oh, yes, they're going to know him. They're going to realize Oh, how they rejected him, how they scorned him, how they despised him. Oh, how they refused to give their lives to him. But he's coming in those clouds. Every eye, again, is going to see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen, amen. Oh, that moment, we all stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. As is declared in the 22nd chapter of Revelation, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And oh, he continues, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Oh, praise the Lord. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Oh, praise the Lord, that city that's coming down from God out of heaven, that new Jerusalem. Oh, yes, that God is prepared for those that love him. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. It says in the 20th chapter of Revelation, blessed and holy, verse 6, is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And perhaps we'll go into this chapter later, but all that refers to this period of grace, this dispensation of grace. Oh, yes, when we can give our lives to the Lord. Oh, yes, we no longer have to, you know, bring burnt offerings to make atonement for our sin. For one already paid that price for us. Oh, yes, that Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world, the one that loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him, oh, should obtain mercy, yes. May come to him. Yes, may believe on him. Yes, may have eternal life. Oh, praise the Lord, the wonderful depths, the wonderful riches of God. Oh, yes, the blessings. But praise the Lord, oh, that call that he called us forth. Oh, yes, we were so there. We are all dead in our trespasses and sins. But the Almighty One came and breathed upon us that we might receive the Holy Ghost. And what is that Spirit? Oh, that he puts within us. It's a resurrecting power, as it tells us in Romans, the 8th chapter. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Oh, that resurrecting power that he puts within us so that we can be quickened, so that we can be made alive. Oh, yes, so that we can live for him. Oh, praise the Lord, that wonderful call to life. Oh, praise the Lord. We are all there, yes, dead in our trespasses and in our sins. But praise the Lord, how beautiful if we receive that call. That wonderful salvation. One more place here, Colossians, the 2nd chapter, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walking in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Oh, because mighty work he did for us. Oh, yes, and so we've been grounded in our Savior. We've been established on the rock, Christ Jesus, and then we're built up in him. Oh, yes, it's that holy priesthood. Established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised, with that circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Oh, yes. Oh, that cry that came out to us, that call that, oh, yeah, we received so that we might get rid of that old body of the sins of the flesh. We might be circumcised with that circumcision that is made without hands by the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. It tells us in verse 12 here in Colossians 2, buried with him at baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Oh, praise the Lord. We go down in the water, but we come up. Oh, yes, to walk in newness of life, to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost as it has been promised to all those that repent and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of the sins, with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. So we're buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. What a wonderful thing is, he made us alive. He quickened us together, all those old sins that we could do nothing about, those old sins that we could not wash away ourselves. But praise the Lord, there was one who shed his blood for us, that we might have remission of sins, that we might come to him, that we might repent, and then be buried in the waters of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. So that price is paid. All those sins are taken care of. They're not to be remembered anymore, because he took them from us. Oh, what a wonderful thing. And yes, he made us alive. Oh, yes, that quickening power of the Holy Ghost that comes to dwell in us. Oh, you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have been quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Oh, what a wonderful gift we are given in him. So praise the Lord, as he told us in John, the 5th chapter, that call to life, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Oh, praise the Lord. For it says in verse 25 again, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Oh, praise the Lord. Have we heard that voice tonight? Oh, that cry that came out to our hearts. Oh, that voice that spoke to our souls. Oh, we will ever thank the Lord for such a gift as he has given us, that he would take our past, that he would erase it. Oh, yes, and that he would make us his own holy people. Oh, yes, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that should show forth the praises of him that hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Oh, a people that were not a people if we were Gentiles, but now are the people of God, a people that had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Oh, praise the Lord, that wonderful call to eternal life. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. What a gift we've been given, the gift of salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's thank him for it. Oh, Heavenly Father. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for what you did for us, God. Thank you for the hope that is within our very beings, Lord. Oh, God, that hope that we may meet you, Lord, that we may see you, Lord, that we may stand before you, Lord, clothed with your righteousness. Oh, Lord, clothed with your holiness, Lord. Oh, God, with those sins that passed. Oh, God, all those transgressions forgiven us, Lord. Oh, Lord, because you paid that price for us. Oh, and you've given us hope, Lord. Oh, God, I just pray that you continue working in us, talking to us. Oh, restoring us, Lord. God, if there be some, oh, Lord, are hearing this message, Lord, and have not yet come to that place where they have received you, Lord, and given their lives to thee. Lord, I pray that you'd quicken them now, that you'd talk to them now. Oh, God, I pray, oh, Lord, that you'd move in them now. Oh, Lord, that your spirit would move. Oh, Lord, and that you pour out of your spirit, Lord, that resurrecting power that you promised to your children. Oh, Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we are blessed to know the Lord. Praise the Lord for his call to eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We can start praising him now. That praise is never going to end as we, oh, gather around the throne for all eternity. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Well, if you can find your Melodies of Praise hymnal, we're going to go to number 84 and sing More Abundantly. Number 84. They might. Amen.